On today's episode of
The Blabber Show,
why don't you keep the robots dumb?
She better be asking me questions, you know? Like, that's what I want, you know? I want to make it about me.
Chris, like, did you see that new Kimura that came out?
I want to say the Yurigatai.
Doom. Gorilla says. Back after a long break, it is Hyro.
And this is Chris.
For another episode of Mr. Moz Presents The Blabber Show. We had the week off for Labor Day, Chris. How was that?
It was awesome, man. I got a chance to relax. I ended up going to San Diego. You know, just spend some quality time, you know, with my girlfriend.
Much needed time. Oh, bragging. Got the girl.
Yeah.
Friend. The GF.
Yeah.
The kids call him GF. That's for the kids that don't know. We're talking about a GF.
Mm-hmm.
You went down there for Labor Day, Chris. San Diego.
Yes, sir. It was pretty cool, man. I had a good time.
You had fun in San Diego.
Yeah.
Would you tell a friend to go to San Diego?
Yeah, most definitely, man. It's one of those places where you just want to just fucking drink and have a good time, right? Like,
yeah.
I went to the San Diego Zoo, and my dear, like, once I walked in, my imagination, like, turned into a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
I was walking around, I was looking at the gorillas, looking at the elephants, I saw some giraffes.
They had them all in the same pen as soon as you walked in?
Nah, you had to walk.
Sounds dangerous.
Man, it was big, right? But I was right. Like, man, wouldn't it be better if they were all together, you know? Like, instead of walking and fucking, because the fucking park is, like, 256, I think approximately 256 acres, right?
Wow.
That's fucking large.
That's bigger than my apartment, Chris.
No shit. It's bigger than fucking my block.
Right.
But when I was there, man, like, I was like, man, wouldn't it be better if all these fuckers were caged together and shit, you know?
Yeah.
And then I would start imagining, like, okay, what if they have fights? You know, what if these animals fought against each other and who would win, right?
Well, would it be like a free-for-all? Would they all just go at it at the same time, or would you just put them in, like, one at a time?
I should say
two at a time.
No, one at a time, dude. I think one at a time, and it depends who wins, you know, how quick the fight ends, you know?
I think we need to come up with some rules here about this fight, because this is an intriguing conversation, which I wish National Geographic would cover.
Right.
But we need to understand, one, you're saying they're not just in there all at the same time.
No.
They start getting introduced. It's kind of like a Royal Rumble. Like a 1990s WWF Royal Rumble.
Yeah, here comes the fucking gorilla. And
yeah, they do a countdown like 10, 9, 8. And then all of a sudden, like, the gorilla theme song comes out. And then the fucking gorilla comes out with an American flag. You're like, fuck yeah, gorilla. Got this shit.
Gorilla pounds on his chest, you know. Just
Gorilla Monsoon, by the way. That was an actual wrestler. Gorilla Monsoon, the Animal Steel. There were a bunch of animal-related wrestlers. The Dragon Steamboat.
What? Dragon Steamboat? I didn't know there was wrestlers like that.
There was a dragon, but dragons aren't real, Chris. Unless you saw one at the San Diego Zoo. Did you see one?
Yeah, I saw a Komodo dragon.
Oh, a Komodo dragon.
Yeah.
That's true. You got me on that one.
Yeah.
So they all come out every, like, let's say every 90 seconds. A new one comes out.
Right.
Keep that in mind. That's an interesting loophole in the rule, because if the two animals in the ring have a what they call a squash match in wrestling,
uh-huh.
where one of them just wins really quickly, he has time to rest before the next one comes out, right?
Right.
Keep that in mind.
Okay.
At the beginning of the Royal Rumble, there's two fighters that begin in the match.
Okay.
Before any other fighters start coming out.
Right.
Usually, they're not the big stars, right? Because you want to save the big stars for later in the match. You want to introduce them. You want Hulk Hogan to come out later. You want The Undertaker to come out later.
Right.
These are like smaller, lower in the totem pole wrestlers that usually start off the Royal Rumble. So with that in mind, who would start off your San Diego Zoo Royal Rumble?
I guess they'll be the Giraffes and maybe the Zebras, right?
Oh, of course. They have to be like horse type animals.
Yeah.
You don't have the carnivores out yet. You have the herbivores to begin with. So you got the giraffe and you got the zebra.
Right.
Ding, ding, ding. The bell rings. How do you think that fight's going to go, first of all?
Well, I think for them to get aggressive, they got to shoot them up with meth, right? That's the only way they get fucking edgy, right? Like, you know, type of deal and shit, right?
All the animals are on meth.
Okay.
All of them are. Just like 1990s wrestlers, all of them are on cocaine and meth.
And steroids.
Oh, for sure. I mean, have you been to the zoo? Those animals are built. They are all on steroids. So you got the zebra and the giraffe.
Right.
They let them loose. They come at each other. Who's taking that one?
I want to see the giraffes, you know, because the giraffe has the height advantage, you know, and they can swing their neck pretty hard.
Their kick, they would have a longer kick, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Who's faster, though, the giraffe or the zebra?
I think the zebra. The zebra is definitely faster because, you know, the long, lanky legs, you know, they can't really fucking juke anybody, you know?
But you got to consider, like, do they have all their wits about them? Because remember, they're doped up. So would the zebra be smart enough to be like, oh, play the long game, like run away, you know, keep your distance, walk away, don't take his bait.
Right.
Or would he just be like, I'm going to come after the giraffe and then bam, immediately get kicked in the face, broken neck, dead. How would it play out for the zebra?
Well, just for the sanity of the whole fucking public, you know, watching this, I think it has to go by fast, right?
Like,
it's not, and the cage must be, it's not that big or that much, they don't have that much space, a small ring. So there's not much space to run around, so they had to confront their enemies, right? They had to go to the fucking death.
So Zebra runs in, he can't avoid that kick, boom, broken neck, easy, squash match. The giraffe has time to sit down, Indian position, that might be racist, but we used to call it Indian position, in the middle of the ring and just wait.
Right.
Wait for the next animal to come out.
Yeah.
Who comes out now, Chris?
I want to say the Yurgatang. What was it called?
The Yurgatang. That's not an animal. But you know more about animals than I do because you went to the San Diego Zoo. So maybe there's a Yurgatang. Well,
I hate to pronounce it. Is that fucking ape that comes out for the Tang commercial? You remember Tang, right?
No. The juice?
Yeah.
I didn't even know Tang had commercials.
Yeah, you don't remember
orangutan.
Orangutan, yeah.
All right, so the orangutan is up next. You're all of a sudden putting in one of the great apes, but not the main one, which I think makes sense for a Royal Rumble, right?
Right.
So all of a sudden, boom! You hear glass shatter. You hear doo 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 wow doo 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 doo. Fucking orangutan's coming out like a badass. People are throwing beers at him. He's fucking drinking the beers. He's walking out. Does he have a chance against the giraffe?
I think so. Like the way I'm looking at it is if he grabs him by the tail, climbs on his neck, and just fucking chokehold him and shit, you know, until he passes out, that's the only way I can see the fucking giraffe falling.
I agree with you. I think the orangutan has to, like Michelle Obama said, go high. Right? He has to try to get a hold of the tail, get a hold of some type of leg, try to get underneath, and then climb. Just start climbing and climbing. Because once you climb, then you're away from the main weapon, which is the feet, right?
Right.
So you start climbing, you get to the neck. I think that's going to be a longer fight, though. Because I don't think you could just get a giraffe in a chokehold because the neck is so long.
Right.
So I think it's more like he gets up there and he's punishing him. He's just fucking going for the eyes, going for the ears, boxing the ears, you know. I think that's kind of like a longer fight.
I don't know, Hyro. I don't know, man. Like, I was looking at the facts of the animal, of the orangutan.
Yeah. Right? From parts unknown. Orangutan. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Tell me more about the orangutan.
Yeah, it says it has the strength of a fucking gorilla.
That's weird that they would compare it to another animal at the zoo. Like, why don't you give me a standard form of, like, measuring his strength instead of, oh, now go read the sign for the gorilla and then you'll find out. And then if you look at the sign for the gorilla, it says, as strong as an orangutan. There's no fucking way that helps me, Chris.
They do that so they can make you walk, you know, and go see every part of the animal, right, they have there.
Yeah, it's just a little teaser. Just enough to make you go look at the gorilla.
Yeah, but they're saying they have a strong grip. You know, they could hold their weight and another person, or another one of them, and hang from the tree.
That's not that strong. if you're saying that all the orangutan could do is hold itself up and maybe the weight of another orangutan. I don't know if that's enough to choke out a giraffe.
I mean, come on, man. They have the grip of a fucking lion, shit, you know?
Lion. Chris, why are you comparing them to these other animals? I need to know Newtons. I need to know PSI. I need to know, like, I need specifics. Can this thing choke out a giraffe? I'd say no. I say it's a long haul. He's trying to get up there. He's scrambling up there. The giraffe at this point has no defense. He's swinging his head around, trying to get the thing off of him. He's holding on tight. The orangutan's holding on tight.
He's buckling and shit, you know, trying to get him off of his back.
Exactly. He's bucking. He's throwing his legs up. He's throwing his back around. The orangutan's got his legs wrapped up, though.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to set in a guillotine, but he can't get it. Dude's got a strong neck. Then you hear the crowd, bro. 3, 2... They're counting, Chris. The next fucking animal's gonna come out. One. Yeah. What's that animal, Chris?
It's a hippopotamus.
Bro, the fucking hippo comes out, bro. Waka taka waka taka waka taka waka. The fucking hippo comes lumbering out with a 2x4 across his shoulder like fucking Hacksaw Jim Dugan, bro. The fool's just walking.
And he has sunglasses on, right?
Oh, for sure. Like, sunglasses, you can't even see through them. Like, they're probably like cardboard, but they're like glossy and shit.
Yeah.
So he comes walking out. He drops the 2x4. With every Royal Rumble, this is the thing you have to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Two animals already in the ring.
Okay.
And a new animal's coming in.
Okay.
Is he taking a side? Is he coming in and is he going to team up with an animal that's already in the ring? Or is he just going to go, fuck it?
I think it has to be with the giraffe, right? Because the giraffe is so long and so lanky, you know? Like, he's at a disadvantage. So
he has
to take advantage that the orangutan is distracting the giraffe just enough where he could just bite his ass, right?
Trying to get some ass and legs. True.
Yeah, that's true. What I think.
At this point, giraffe is fucking done. Because not only is giraffe bucking, trying to get orangutan off him, but now you got hippo coming in. By the way, the hippo took off his glasses and put it on one of the kids in the stands before he got in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, he gave it to one of the little kids that was at the zoo that was watching and said, you know what? One day, you're going to be the greatest animal of all time, he said.
Right.
You're going to be the most dangerous game.
Right.
Man. Is what he told him.
Man.
Then he jumps in the ring, bites a fucking leg off of the giraffe, bro. Because they got strong teeth. Their teeth are as strong as one gorilla, it said on the on the sign.
I think it said their jaw as strong as a crocodile. I think
that's saw as strong as a crocodile. And then if you go look at the crocodile, it says as strong as a hippopotamus. Bites one of the legs off the giraffe. Giraffe goes down, bro. Doesn't stand a chance.
At that point, they're
taking him out, bro.
Right.
Like,
he's out. The giraffe is out. Now it's just the hippo and the orangutan, right?
Ooh, man, you got to get better at saying that animal's name, Chris. Orangutan.
Orangutan. Is that right? Am I saying it right? Orangutan?
Orangutan.
Orangutan. Hey, you gotta let me be, man. I say how I fucking want to say it, all right, dude?
Yeah. Why are you Russian, Chris?
Like, is this
a orangutan?
Is this
a BMW orangutan? You know that's what it is.
Is this grammar school, man? What the fuck?
We're trying to. This is the San Diego Zoo Royal Rumble. We gotta get these guys right. All right. Now we got the orangutan versus the hippo.
Uh-huh.
They're looking at each other too. They're like looking at they're looking at the fans because the fans are like, I've never fucking seen this before. You've never seen these two in the ring at the same time.
Yeah. And the orangutan is like has his hands up and just like turning around in circles, like slowly.
He's like, let me hear the audience. He does like the thing where he like puts his hand to his ear.
Yeah.
And he points at a corner and he puts his hand to his ear and they're like,
yeah.
And then he points at the other side and then he points at the other side. And the fucking hippo's like, whoa, what's going to happen here?
Right. the only defense for the orangutan is to get on top of the ring, right? On top of the ropes and trying to avoid the hippopotamus, right?
Right.
But one of those, like, he gets told cock, he slips in a corner, right?
Right.
And his ass is, like, sitting on the corner, and the fucking hippo takes his advantage and just puts his ass right in his face, right?
Right in his face. He does a Rakishi.
Right, exactly.
The big butt. What did Rakishi used to call that?
I don't remember the move, but I just remember it as a big old ass with dimples.
The ass drop. The hippo drops the ass on the orangutan. Game over for orangutan.
That's right.
And a happy story for Chris, because now you don't have to say orangutan anymore. He's out.
Thanks, man.
So now the hippo's in the ring. That was a shocker for everybody involved, because I feel like the orangutan was low-key the fan favorite.
Right, right.
But then they start counting down. 3, 2, 1. Who's coming out, Chris?
Fucking crocodile, dude.
Fucking croc. And here comes the fucking crocodile, bro, waltzing down the ring with his little leather vest on.
Yeah.
He gets in the ring.
High boots and shit, you know?
High fucking boots. Bro, he's looking like a jobber, though, bro. Like, you really have never seen him on TV before, but you know he's been around. He runs in the ring with a whole bunch of energy. What happens?
Oh, man, he gets his ass stomped. You know, because the crocodile is like really shallow, you know, compared to the hippopotamus.
Yeah,
like he takes a good bite at him, but he just injures him, you know. Like, but the fucking hippo is so heavy, he just steps on his fucking head and kills him.
Gone,
dead.
A little bit of a nick on the hippopotamus, and it's something to keep in mind for later in the match.
Right, right.
But the hippo just made easy work out of him.
Right, right.
So now, again, now the hippo gets a chance to just lean up against the ropes and just rest. To just, because he's winded, bro. He's never been in a match for that long.
Right. Holding his ankle, you know.
He's got his, I'm trying to think of how a hippo would do it. He's got his front legs on the knees of his back legs, you know. he's just like, he's trying to take deep breaths, you know. And now you're coming down to, like, the wire, bro. Now you got the big names coming out, right?
Yeah.
Then you look at everybody's looking at the big screen, right? Because they're trying to see, like, whose fucking video is going to come out. Is it going to be the lion? Is it going to be the rhinoceros? Is it going to be the tiger? Who is it, Chris?
It's a fucking rhinoceros, dude.
Fuck, it's the rhinoceros, and you fucking knew it. And you've been waiting forever to see these two guys go face to face.
And it's the rarest fucking rhinoceros, the white rhinoceros with the three fucking horns, you know?
You're thinking of a dinosaur, Chris. They only got two horns.
A triceratops, though.
You're thinking of triceratops, baby. This is a rare endangered white rhino, but the fans are interested because these two used to be a tag team. Back in the day.
Right.
They used to run together. The hippo-rhino connection. But now they're finally going face to face. Rhino jogs it to the ring, bro. With all the confidence in the world. What happens?
Bobbing his fucking head. Just showing off his fucking horn and shit, you know?
With a big gold chain around his neck.
Yeah. Fucking, he gets on the ring and shit. Without even stopping, he just fucking tackles the hippo right in the chest, you know? Stabbing him. Easy, yep. Like, because his fucking hippo didn't have agility anymore, you know? His ankle was hurt, so he couldn't dodge him, so he kind of just let it happen and shit, you know?
He was definitely slowed down by the crocodile attack.
Right.
You always wondered, you know, how long is this guy going to last? What's his stamina looking like? And fatigue got the best of him. He's out. And the fucking fans now are peaking, bro, because they know it's only the big names left. Who's coming out next, Chris?
So the next animal is fucking... has to be the elephant, right?
Oh, man, the big man. The heavyweight champion of the world, bro.
The big show, you know?
The big... Well, it's the elephant. And he comes fucking walking out with the belt across his shoulder, bro.
Yeah.
Well, there's a big elephant in town. He's fucking... And he just walks slow. With his fucking trunk up in the air.
Right. When every step he takes, the fucking floor shakes, right?
He's just fucking shaking, bro. People are going fucking wild. They're like, is this real? And this guy real?
And the fucking rhinoceros just gets nervous, right? As he gets closer and closer, like, oh shit, what the fuck?
Not him. He's like shaking his head like, no, it wasn't him, no.
And the crowd's just going crazy, like, you know, amazing, you know, the adrenaline hits him, you know, like the rhinoceros just slaps his face and just fucking, he just fucking realizes he has to get through this, man. You know, if he wants to be the champion, he has to pull through.
This is the only way for him to become the number one contender. He knows that.
Yeah.
So, but he's just nervous, bro. He's just, and he knows the crowd is against him because they love elephant.
Right, right.
Then the elephant steps in. What happens?
Well, he fucking, he calls out. Like, he fucking, he does the horn. He does the trumpet through his fucking nose, right? Like,
bro, yeah. And they always, and the crowd responds. So he goes like,
yeah, there you go.
Ew. Like, they all fucking know. They know the fucking score.
Yeah, so the fucking rhinoceros just fucking shaking his in his boots, you know? Yeah. But he takes charge. He just goes for it and just fucking charges at the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
And the elephant is still looking at the crowd, giving his back to him. And at the last second, he turns around and he just fucking nudges the fucking rhinoceros head out the way. And the fucking rhinoceros goes flying through the ring, breaking his neck.
Sad. Yeah. What a sad ending for the rhinoceros.
Yeah, you see, that's what happens when you're trying to take a cheap shot, you know?
He should have waited for Elephant to come back, turn around like a true
competitor.
Like,
right?
A competitor, exactly.
Right. Right. Just fucking acknowledge him that he's ready, and he should have went on it. But no.
He tried to sneak attack, it went wrong. So the crowd is counting down again. They're looking at the Jumbotron. What's gonna fucking happen? Who's coming out next? Chris, who's coming out next?
Fucking Lion, dude.
Oh, the fucking Lion. Do 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 do. Bam! He's the fucking money man, bro.
Yeah.
The Lion comes out. He has like a special fucking dollar sign championship belt that he just made by himself.
Yeah.
He's wearing like a fake tuxedo. Do 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 do.
He's in the top three, you know, at least in the top five.
Comes out, bro. Confident as can be, looking at the crowd. He's looking at everybody in the crowd too. He's like, you know me. You know me. You know me, right? He's just fucking, he's feeling like hot shit.
Yeah. And by the way, for the audience that just can't imagine the Lion happening, just imagine the Lion from the MGM. You know, in the beginning of the movies, you just see him roaring. That's how he's starting off, you know, roar.
And just cocky, bro. Cocky as can be. The $1 million Lion, bro. Then he gets up on the ring. Elephant, he remembers, right? An elephant never forgets.
Right.
He remembers all the things that Lion has done in the past. He knocked out the referee one time, and then he came back and won the fight, even though he knocked down the referee, even though like Elephant had pinned him for three. Like, it's just a lot of backstory with this guy.
Right, right.
What happens when the Lion gets in the ring, Chris?
The fucking Lion is so savvy. He asks the referee to look behind him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the referee turns around and the fucking Lion just takes a jab at his nuts, you know?
Right in the balls. Down fucking goes Elephant. Down to his knees.
Right.
Right after the nut shot.
And the Lion just pins him down right after, right?
But then the elephant remembers that it's not, they had nothing to do with pinning. They were killing each other at first. So the elephant does one of these. He starts hulking out. He fucking gets his trunk and he just starts shaking. And the audience is like, they're giving him the fucking fuel.
Yeah.
Right? To get up. Elephant comes back, knee to the stomach of the Lion. Then the elephant takes his trunk and he points him up in the air. The fans know what that means when he points his trunk up in the air. Puts his trunk to his neck.
Uh-huh.
Choke slam, baby.
Choke slam, baby.
Choke slam from fucking hell, bro. He takes the Lion up, takes him for a ride. Slam, bro.
Kukush.
Kills him.
Right.
Kills him, and now he's covered in fucking blood, and he's tired, dude. You could see he's tired, but the fans, they want him. He's the people's champion.
Right, right.
3, 2, 1. Who's coming out?
The fucking gorilla.
Doom, 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 doom. Gorilla says. The gorilla comes out with his wrestling trunks.
Yeah.
And his
knee pads.
Knee brace on one side. Elbow pads. That fool comes out decked. He's gone through a long year, bro. He made it to the number one contender and got taken down. He got taken down.
He almost lost his eye in the last match because the fucking elephant smashed the fucking chair in his fucking right of his face, you know, in the previous match.
The history, bro. They have history.
Yeah.
So he's coming out fuming. Elephant's a little winded, bro. Elephant's a little winded. And the fans know it.
Yeah, and the gorilla just walking, you know, with the fucking
little limp.
with a limp and just fucking anger, right? Like, he's just mad dogging him the whole time, right? Yeah. And once he swings his feet over his fucking ropes, you know, he just stops halfway in, and then he just looks at the fucking at the elephant, mm-hmm. and just fucking does this motion with his finger across his neck, like he's fucking dead, like you dying, bro. You dying tonight.
And when he steps in the ring, he turns around, looks at the crowd, and goes, like he can smell fucking death, bro.
Yeah,
he can fucking smell what's about to happen now.
And the elephant, the elephant is fucking shitting his bricks, you know. I think he shit himself a couple of times, you know.
Yep.
Fucking shit, it's all over the ring now. Fucking, he slips in his own shit, you know, because he keeps backing away, and that's where he fucked up, man. He slips on his own.
All the cowardice that he shows has come back to haunt him. He slips on his own shit.
Exactly.
Hits the deck,
and the fucking gorilla doesn't waste any time. He just gets on top and just pummels
him. Rampage, bro. Just ground and pound. Boom, boom, boom. And the crowd's going crazy because they know this is a long time coming. Yeah, go ahead, gorilla. He's just fucking boom, 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 coming at him. Does elephant tries to put up a fight, I would assume, right? He tries to get up.
Yeah,
he tries to get up.
He attempts to block him with his trunk, you know, a couple of shots, but it's just too many. His furies are too fast, too furious. He can't block many of them, you know, and he just fucking...
Gorilla goes like this, though, because you know how Gorilla is. He goes like this. He gets off of him, he stands up, and he tells him, get up. Fucking
cocky.
Get up, bro.
Fucking cocky motherfucker.
Yep. Get up. So he gets up. Another fucking, a perfect kick to the balls. The elephant hunches over. Gorilla gets him by the head. Stunner, bro. Stunner. Boom. Out. Elephant is out.
Out.
He's out. Now Gorilla's standing in the ring all by himself, bro.
Right.
All by his lonesome.
Yeah. And the fucking gorilla just like acknowledges that he's about to be the champion, right?
Yep.
But there's one more coming, right?
One more. Who's coming, Chris?
The tigress. Yeah.
Tigress.
The roar.
El Tigre.
El Tigre del Norte, yeah.
He comes out with a mask, bro, because El Tigre del Norte, you know, he's the luchador. He's got a mask on. People's never seen his face.
Right.
But he's been around, dude. It's El Técnico, bro. You know that El Tigre, he knows all the fucking holds, all the moves. He's got flying attacks. He's got he's got everything down.
He knows all the reversals too, right? Like you always say you got him in the chokehold, but all of a sudden you're the one being choked, right?
I mean, we're all used to seeing El Tigre win. But he comes out with that confidence, his chest all big, puffed up.
Yeah.
Walking out.
So the fucking tiger, right? He climbs into the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the gorilla is like, oh shit, you know, like I got my money worth, you know.
But he's been waiting for this, Chris.
He's been working out. He had just done he just finished doing some pushes right after beating up the fucking the elephant, you know.
Yeah,
so he's pumped, dude.
He knew that all roads led to this.
That's right.
There was not gonna be a way for him to avoid probably like 5-time intercontinental champion. He's been the world heavyweight champion. El Técnico, El Tigre versus Gorilla coming up after this. Boom, then you go to commercial. Just because it's the zoo doesn't mean they're not going to try to milk it, you know?
Right, right.
They go to commercial. But then they come back. And there they are, bro, face to face. And they're just talking. They're just drawing at each other.
Right.
What happens, Chris?
Well, at first they size each other up by walking around the ring, you know?
Yeah.
And then they fucking lock arms and they let go. Right?
Oh, they do they get their hands over their heads and they lock hands trying to see who can take down the other guy's hand, right?
Right, right.
Mm.
They find out they're both equally strong, right? So they can't, one can't overcome the other one, right?
And when that happens, they turn around and they just look at the audience like, what? Like they're both shocked that the other guy is just as strong as him. They always assumed that they were the strongest man. At the San Diego Zoo.
That's right.
But they're both shocked.
So the fucking gorilla, right? He thinks he's slick, you know, because he has fucking hands. He has supposable thumbs, you know?
Right.
He tries to break the fucking tiger's paws and shit, right?
Right.
But the tiger's not having it, dude. The fucking tiger fucking bites his neck, right?
Oh, man.
But the fucking gorilla fucking jabs him a fucking uppercut, you know?
Boom.
And while they're both doing that, they both knock each other out in the middle of the ring.
Wow, they both go out. The double knockout. And yeah. The ref doesn't know what to do. The ref starts counting on both of them.
Yeah, he's like, one, two. And then, like, they're both getting up slowly and shit. All dazed and confused and shit. You know, yeah, exactly.
A little bit wobbly.
Exactly. Yeah. At the last second, they both stand up and shit, right? Mm-hmm. Bleeding and shit. You know, fucking agony.
Exhausted.
And they charge. They both charge at each other. Mm-hmm. And boom, they knock each other out. Fucking...
Again. These are the two guys that no matter who wins this fight, you can walk away saying you saw the best fight of all time.
That's right.
They go again.
Down they go again, but the tiger has a little bit more energy, right?
He just got there. El Tigre just came in.
Right. So the tiger just crawls over the fucking gorilla and shit, right? And he talks about... He's about to fucking take a bite out of the fucking gorilla's neck, you know? Mm-hmm. But the gorilla, like, suddenly wakes up all of a sudden, just grabs him by the mouth. Right. Holding his jaws, separating him from clamping on his neck, right?
Oh, man.
And it's like a power struggle, right? Like, you can see the fucking gorilla struggling to keep the fucking tiger off his neck, but mm-hmm. you can tell the tiger's a little bit stronger because, you know, he just got in the ring.
If he locks it in, it's over. Nobody's ever come out of that.
It's fucking over. But everybody in the stand, like all the whole audience is standing on their feet, you know, like, oh shit, like what's gonna happen?
Who are they rooting for, Chris? Who would you be rooting for at that point?
Well, fucking the Tiger is the world champion, you know?
It's like half and half. Yeah, you can hear Tigre, Tigre, Tigre. And then the other side, but you can hear the other side too. Kaboo, they go, Gorilla. Gorilla, this old man. It's just like they've each got their camp.
Yeah,
in the San Diego Zoo.
Right. So the gorilla he managed to pull the fucking the jaws of death away from his neck.
Never done before.
And he makes a tiger clamp his fucking jaws on the ropes. Right.
Oh.
You know, and that fucked him up because, you know, now the fucking rope is stuck between his teeth, you know, and the fucking, the gorilla has standing behind him now, and he's choking him, he's using the rope to choke him out. He's choking the tiger out, using the ropes. Mm-hmm. But the referee doesn't like it. He's like, he's counting,
he's trying to pull him off, he's saying he's only going to count to 10, yep.
And okay. Because it's an illegal move, he can't be using ropes as a weapon, you know?
Right.
So at the last second, the fucking gorilla lets go of the tiger, right? Because he didn't want to get disqualified.
Yeah, again, he's at the end of the day, he's a true competitor. He's following the rules.
Right. So then he does the fucking hand to the ear and shit, you know, to the crowd. He's like, you know?
Let me hear you.
And then he goes to the other side and he does that to the other side of the corner. And the fucking... Exactly. And the tiger is like slowly recovering, you know? Like he's stumbling... But he's mm-hmm. getting up slowly, you know? Mm-hmm. One of those fucking, when the gorilla turns around, he accidentally gives the bag to the tiger.
No.
And the tiger's already fully recovered, right? He gets him by the neck, you know, and he gives him a power driver, dude.
Oh, no.
Completely fucking breaking the gorilla's neck, dude.
Dude.
Yeah.
And the crowd just
goes wild.
Pops. Wow.
Yeah.
It's fucking over.
Everybody gets off the stands and start rushing the fucking ring and shit. Put the tiger on their neck, you know?
They put the tiger up on their shoulders.
Yeah, there you go. Up in
confetti's coming down.
Dun, 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 dun.
Man, Chris, what an amazing tale. Yeah. And they're doing this at the San Diego Zoo this weekend, you said?
No, I was just imagining everything, you know?
I hope that the San Diego Zoo is listening to this and they actually implement this because I want a San Diego Zoo Royal Rumble next weekend. Can we get there?
I'm pretty sure. As long as we don't, nobody tells PETA and shit, you know?
This is you took us through a journey.
Uh-huh.
And when people go through journeys, you know what they need to do.
They need to take a break.
They gotta take a break, Chris. So let's take a break.
All right. Sounds good.
The boys need a break. They'll be right back.
Chris, it's that time of the show that we love.
Okay.
The time of the show where we get to talk about our sponsors.
Nice. I love sponsors, man, because you know what that means? That means payday money. Dude, exactly.
Money.
Chocolate bars and paydays.
Chocolate bars, movie stars, man. I love it. Money. And guess what? Today's sponsor actually relates to money because they can get you a payday. They are Underground Workforce Management. This is a company that helps employers find employees, and they help employees find employers.
Yeah. And now it's so important because a lot of people lost their jobs due to COVID.
Right.
It's like we're helping our community by finding jobs with our sponsors.
Of course. And they're doing something neat.
Really? What is it?
They gave us a list of resumes for people that are currently looking for placement for us to talk about on the show. So if there's an employer out there that's interested in hiring, boom, well, you know, you got them right here.
Nice. Okay.
We got three guys. The first person that they sent us is Art Melendez. Melendez, it shows on here, he has experience in sales.
Oh, okay.
He manages a large territory.
Territory?
Yeah. He works late hours.
Okay.
Which is good, right? He works a late shift. He has experience mitigating risk.
Okay.
He knows how to collect. It says on here he has experience with collection.
That's weird.
And it also says he carries heat. He's always strapped. So that's a great, yeah.
That means he carries a gun, no?
Yeah, no, this is probably like a salesperson.
But why does he have to be in charge of a large territory, you know? And then, I don't know, it sounds to me like he's a drug dealer, man.
No, sales territory, Chris. I understand your confusion. It's a sales territory. So he's probably going door to door. And in some of the colder climates, you always need to have like something to keep you warm. And he probably has it like one of those messenger bags. So he's constantly strapped, Chris. Don't get confused. Don't get confused.
All right. I'm not.
And our second resume on here is from Charles Soros. Charles Soros shows on here he's calculating.
Okay.
So that's good. Calculating. He's probably like an accountant, right?
Right.
He's precise. Anonymous. He has combat experience. He's ex-military.
Why is that important though, man? Huh? For being an accountant, why is that important?
Well, it's always good to support our troops, I think, just in general.
Right? I don't know, man. I don't know what's up with these people, man.
It says on here he will travel.
Okay.
That he's trustworthy and that he's had experience in Central America. So
Again, why is that important, dude?
He's probably bilingual. He speaks Spanish, right?
Okay.
So that's always good to look for. In this economy, Chris, it's always great to look for. It says on here, he gets jobs done and he eliminates targets. So that's, you know, it's great to have a guy.
Wait, eliminates targets?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a hitman to me, dude. I don't know what's up with this.
No, Chris, it's probably like a accounting jargon, you know, like accounts payable, accounts receivable, eliminating targets. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way that they talk.
I don't know, man. I guess. Continue. Please continue.
Yeah. And one more person here. This is Crystal Rose.
Okay.
Crystal Rose. It says on here that she's good at GFE.
Girlfriend experience? That's a prostitute, right? That's usually where you find in Craigslist.
No. GFE is probably like a good food environment. Like it's probably like, you know, like a waitress or a hostess or something like that. Because it does say on here she works well with groups, she multitasks, and she's a people pleaser. So it's probably like
That sounds like a prostitute to me, man.
No. It says she's disease free.
What? And she's a hooker, dude.
Oh, you would do it in a workplace with COVID now. You want to know that the person is disease free. That's probably what it is. It says DP. And
double penetration, dude. Again, I think she's a hooker, man. I don't know what the fuck you're advertising here.
Chris, data processing, probably, you know, inputting numbers and stuff like that.
Okay.
And it says on here swallows. So if you're interested, reach out to Underground Workforce Management, Chris, because at Underground Workforce Management, your job is in good hands.
You asked for them, you got them. Back to Chris and Hyrule.
And we're back.
We're back, big man.
Yes, sir. That last break had me kind of... I just wish I could just take a little nap, a siesta, you know?
You didn't like that break?
Man, I feel like too short, man. Like, I feel like Mr. Ma is working us hard, man. Like,
by the way, for the people that haven't listened to the episode a couple weeks ago, this podcast is now owned by Mr. Ma.
Yeah, I feel like one of his kids, child laborers from his factories and shit, you know?
Yeah. Well, we didn't find that out until last week, that Labor Day week, that aside from the Chinese food restaurant that he has, we found out that he also owns factories where he utilizes child labor. So I think he's using the same type of business structure for our podcast now, because if you noticed, our producer Steve, he's not a producer anymore. Do you see who's back there behind the glass?
Yeah, I don't see anyone.
Well, you don't see anyone because it's a little guy. Like, get closer to the glass and look down.
Oh, shit, it's a midget. It's a fucking midget?
Yeah, he's a little kid. Yeah, he's the new producer. Hopefully our audience didn't notice a difference, because I know you and I, we're trying to keep it consistent episode over episode. We don't want to lose any quality for our podcast.
Right. But although for us, I mean, I could tell that we work on a bare minimum here. Like, now we sit on buckets.
Yeah.
You know, that's another reason why my back was hurting. And that's why I felt like the break was too short, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's a whole different thing. I mean, Steve is out. Steve was our longtime producer. He was the one that was from the beginning, right, Chris? He was kind of the guy that was holding down the fort for this podcast. He would jump on our earphones, and he would do fact checks to make sure we were accurate. When we did the Goodfellas review, when we talked about the Goodfellas, he was the one that was making sure that all our quotes were accurate.
That's right. And his work, you can see it was fucking well developed.
But we don't have that anymore. But we're rolling with the punches, man. We're gonna try to make this show just as good as it has been before. But hopefully, I mean, who knows, Chris? Hopefully, this Rodrigo kid works out, right? Like, he hasn't said anything in our ears so far. He hasn't fact checked us. I don't even think he can reach the knobs, so I don't know how much volume control we're getting during this episode. But
I don't even know if he knows any English, man.
Do you know how to speak English, Rodrigo? He's not even responding. Like, he's looking up at me. He's looking up at me, but hey, no, he's not responding. So I don't know. I really don't know with him, but
fuck, we'll see. Ma, dude, I think he wants us to fail, man.
No, I don't know, Chris. Son, I think he's just, he's used to a certain type of business, and that's what he's going for. Our editing is also being moved. It used to be that the editing was done in Detroit, Michigan, made in America.
Detroit Rock City.
Detroit Rock. Bro, you gotta lose your mind in Detroit Rock City, right?
Yeah.
But now, I guess he's outsourcing that. Now it's being done in Malaysia.
Nah.
So, yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's true. I guess he said it was cheaper there. So our editing, hopefully it doesn't suffer. Right. Hopefully your edit as strong as it has. It's different things like that. Well, it's past, but it's just different things.
I guess he's outsourcing all our help to the east, you know,
out east.
Is Rodrigo out from the east?
Rodrigo? I don't know. I mean, I haven't had a chance.
Rodrigo is a Spanish name. He doesn't like Spanish to me.
It's hard to know, Chris. It's hard to know. And it's hard to know if that's his real name. The only reason I call him that is because he was wearing a shirt that said that on the back. You know, so I don't know if it's some type of foreign company or I don't know. I had a really hard time communicating with this kid, but he's our producer now, and you know, we'll try to help him as best we can.
Yes. Why, Mr. Ma? Why?
I'm starting to think it wasn't a good deal.
Yeah, I told you that. I said that from the get go, man. You should have taken the $600,000 instead of that fucking coupon, man.
It was $450,000.
Whatever it was, I would have taken the money over the food coupon, man. What are you thinking? You were hungry that day, weren't you?
It was food, bro. It was food. It was $15 off Kung Pao chicken with penis sauce and real peanuts, the nut. And it was $15. It was only good for 2 weeks. And it was between the hours of, I think it was like 11:30 to 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
How can I pass that up, Chris? I mean, as a businessman.
You should have done it. You should have ate his sneakers and then consulted him. You know,
he did have some nice sneakers, Chris. And I thought about, should I eat this man's sneakers?
No, I was thinking about the chocolate sneakers, not his shoes.
Snickers.
Yeah, Snickers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe. But hindsight is 20/20, Chris. You know that. At the time, it was the best business decision that I could make. But now we weren't able to use the coupon before it expired. He was closed for Labor Day because I'm like, oh, I'll go, right? I'll go on Labor Day to have my chicken. He was closed.
That son of a bitch.
You see what I mean? That's a.
He fucking played us, man. He fucking played us.
He played us like a fiddle, Chris. So I'm starting to have second thoughts about this, but I'm going to take it with a smile because at this point, he's our employer.
How does he expect us to succeed? You know, we're going to have the proper equipment, you know, the way to produce the show. Like, how does he expect us to succeed?
I'm starting to think maybe he was what they call a vulture capitalist.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Man. I think what he's doing is just like a vulture does. He's picking the bones of this company to try to get more money. Because the microphones are different. You see, these microphones are just like wobbling around. Yeah. They're hanging from like extension cords.
Yeah, they're hanging from the string. Like, we used to have phones, microphone stands. Now
they're gone.
Now they're hanging from the ceiling and shit.
Yeah, they're strung up. And that, whoever did the wiring, that doesn't look safe. I wouldn't touch the microphone if I was you, Chris. But at least we still have our jobs, Chris. You know, that's what you have to be grateful for, is that.
But are we getting paid, though, you know?
No.
We're not.
No, we're not.
So we don't have jobs.
We're not getting paid. But on a volunteer basis, technically, we do have jobs on a volunteer basis. So, and then you got Rodrigo back there. He hasn't done shit. I mean, frankly, I'm thinking that we're supposed to be watching Rodrigo. So I don't know. Like, now I don't know if this is like a daycare situation where he's making money because now Rodrigo's sitting there all day.
Uh-huh.
And then we're kind of watching him. I don't know. I'm starting to get nervous about this whole thing. But what's done is done. And guess what? We're going to give our listeners the best podcast we can possibly give.
All right, I guess.
And the way we're going to do that is by, Chris, get those people some of that beautiful news that you got. Good, good news. We got a lot going on in the world. I know that. There's been COVID updates, Afghanistan. Crate challenge. A bunch of stuff has happened in the world. What is the news, my man, that we're going to give our fans?
Elon Musk said he's coming out with a new AI robot.
Elon, he's going to save the day with some AI.
Yeah, he's coming out with the robot. But my question is, how many of these robots are going to get used for sexual pleasure?
Like most of them.
Right.
Right, like most of those robots.
I'm pretty sure some of them are going to help you with breakfast or with little, you know, chores around the house. Like, yeah. Maybe like 25% of them, you know, but 75% of all of them are going to be used for sexual purposes, you know?
Yeah, almost positive. But what always concerns me is, like, do you need the robot to be intelligent to make it a sex robot? Like, if anything, I would say, like, the more intelligent you make the robot, the weirder it is to have sex with it, right? Because robots can be super smart. We know that.
Right.
AI is an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're going to have the robot sitting there going, like, why are you doing this to me? Like, why can't I live a different life? And I think that might turn people off.
I mean, I think it's going to be set some parameters, you know? Not to make it weird like that, you know. Pretty sure there's gonna be like settings, you know.
Yeah.
Dumb or small robot, you're still gonna get the same result.
Still the same result, but it's kind of like if you had a really smart stripper,
right?
Isn't that weird? Because then, like, she's there and she's getting and she gets to talking to you.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, I'm going through medical school."
Right.
And she's having this conversation with you, and you start thinking, like, "Oh, this is sad. She's just the person trying to make it through life." Trying to get an education, to have a career, and this is what she's doing.
I don't think so. I think I'd rather be with this smart stripper, you know, because I can have a conversation with them, you know?
Like, about what?
She better be asking me questions, you know? Like, that's what I want, you know? I want to make it about me, not about her. That's why I'm paying her to strip, you know?
Yeah. No, you're paying her to have a conversation with you.
No, I'm paying her.
It sounds like you're paying her to be your therapist.
I'm paying her to put the ass cheeks in my face, you know?
While she's talking to you.
Yeah.
That doesn't distract you, Chris? That doesn't take you away from the moment when she's, like, shaking her hips and she's going, like, oh, like, you should have done better in high school. Like, that doesn't throw you off?
Nah, not at all.
Like, oh, you could have made up those credits. You could have made... that doesn't throw you off, Chris?
You know what would throw me off? If she starts nagging me about shit, you know? Like, Chris, did you take out the trash already? Chris, the toilet is clogged. Fix the toilet. Like, nah, bitch. Like, I don't want to do none of that.
So, well, did you clog the toilet, though? I don't think that's nagging. I think if you were the one that clogged the toilet, you probably should fix it. I mean, I think even the stripper would say that, right? I think if you told the stripper the scenario.
Again, if she answers say, me hey, that type it. Of way, she's not getting no tips from me, man.
Well, then I just still think that you would prefer a dumb stripper that doesn't have these conversations with you. Because if anything, it sounds like that's making it a possibility that she doesn't get a tip if she asks these questions and has this conversation with you, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yes.
So that's what I'm saying about the robots. Why don't you keep the robots dumb? Why is Elon trying to get these robots to be so smart?
Well, I think robots, you know, because they're going to be used for chores, you know. They have to have some kind of smartness to them, you know. Like to wash clothes, right?
Separate
the whites and the colors. Recycle fucking plastics from trash. Right. Aluminum, right?
Sure.
You know, you need some kind of brilliance to that, you know. You can't be fucking dumb. Otherwise, you'll be fucking putting the fucking dishes in the trash. Fucking milk in the fucking and the couch, you know?
Would you want that all to be the same robot, though? It almost sounds like you're saying that the robot that you're going to be feeling up, you want it to be the same robot that does the laundry, the same robot that washes the dishes.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be weird, though? Because then you have to be like, hey, stop doing the dishes. Now we're going to do this. Like, and it also, like, if you think about it, too, they would build the robot differently if it needed to carry, like, a laundry hamper, right? Like a basket. Like, you're going to end up boning a robot with a big laundry chute at the bottom. Where's the jizz going to go, Chris? On your clothes?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to be cheap. I'm not trying to spend much money on robots, you know? I just want to have one robot do it all, you know?
Just one.
And if Elon Musk is listening to this, please take my advice. I want one robot that makes, does all, you know?
I just feel like you're going to end up with jizz all over your dishes if this happened. Because it's going to end up like you're fucking like a garbage truck because it's so big and it has to do so many things. You know, it has like little hooks where it picks up laundry hampers. Elon, don't listen to him, Elon.
No, listen to me, Elon.
Don't listen to him.
It's my $1 million idea, man. Make it happen.
Don't listen to him. I feel like keep the robots dumb and keep them curvaceous.
So you just make a sex robot. Like, you don't need somebody who does dishes for you, serve your dinner.
Exactly. Because then it's going to be like, oh, you're trying to get it on. And the robot is like, remember to refill detergent. And then you're like, fuck, robot, you keep nagging me, man. What you keep nagging me about?
Fucking bitch ass robot, man.
It's too much. Too much for you. Too much for the robot.
Yeah.
Don't do it, Elon. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. He's, you know, Elon, look at me. Look. Está loco. He's crazy. Don't do what he says to do. Don't do what he says to do. He's just crazy.
By the way, we reached out to Elon. He says we're gonna have him for next week's episode.
No shit, for real?
Yeah.
But did Steve reach out to him, or producer Steve reach out to him before he got fired?
Yeah, I saw the emails. He forwarded all the emails that he had been working with.
Yeah.
And he sent me the one with Elon Musk. He was in contact with him, and he was trying to set up a date. And I just sent him an email yesterday confirming next Monday.
How's he going to do it? Is he going to fly in, or is he going to do a Zoom call?
Nah, it's going to be all through Zoom, man.
Oh, okay. No, well, that's cool, man. That's huge news. By the way, Chris, that's the biggest news of the whole day.
Yeah.
But our next episode, we're going to have Elon Musk on the podcast.
It just sucks that Steve's not going to be here, you know, since he worked so hard for it, you know?
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Steve. It was nice working with you, man. I'm glad you got us, Elon.
He died? Steve died?
He died. Yeah, you didn't hear? Like, he had a fucking crazy conversation with Mr. Ma. Uh-huh. Mr. Ma called him into the office, told him he was fired.
What?
Steve started telling him about his kids because, you know, Steve's got a whole shitload of kids.
Yeah, dude.
And then Mr. Ma was like, I don't give a fuck, and started like telling him all this shit. And yeah, he ran out of here all despondent.
Oh, man.
He went out into like downtown L.A. and like blocked off traffic. Oh. He pulled out some type of like gun.
Right.
And then he got shot by the police. So R.I.P. Steve. God. R.I.P. to the big man.
Thank God it wasn't COVID, man.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I heard the news that he had gotten shot by police, and I'm like, man, thank God it wasn't fucking COVID. Because it's sad to hear about people succumbing to the virus.
Yeah.
You know, and get the jab, people. Get the jab. If you have the opportunity to, get the jab. It doesn't matter if it's the Pfizer vaccine or the Medea's vaccine.
I mean, Pfizer and Moderna's.
Moderna's, yeah. it doesn't matter which one you get. Just get the jab.
Yeah.
Speaking of the jab, Chris, you know who got the COVID while we were away?
No, who?
Our coworker, bro.
Nah.
Our coworker. You haven't seen him in the hallways, huh?
No, I haven't.
Joe Rogan, bro.
Fuck.
He got the vid.
No way.
And we don't know if he was vaccinated. We were asking him. Every time we see him, we ask him, but he still hasn't made eye contact with us. He ignores us. We start having conversations around him about, like, MMA to try to, like, entice him into talking to us.
Yeah. And he always, like, eye rolls and shit and just fucking turns around and walks away from us.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. We start talking about Brazilian jiu-jitsu. We're like, Chris, like, did you see that new Kimura that came out? To try to get him to talk, he won't talk to us.
He won't take a bait. He never takes the bait.
He won't take the bait. And I don't know if he took the jab, but he got the vid is what I know. Yeah. He put out a video saying that he got the vid. He's taking that horse medication. He's taking, what is it called? Ivermectin?
Yeah.
He said he's taking all kinds of shit. He started taking all kinds of nonsense to try to recover from the vid. We haven't seen him back yet.
So wait. So he doesn't, because I know he hasn't said to the public that he has taken the vaccine, but he admits that he's taking all this weird shit.
Yeah, he admits that he's taking it. What a ridiculous fucking doofus this guy is.
Oh, man.
Right? He doesn't want to say if he got the vaccine because I guess that encourages people. But he does say that he took some other weird medications. I don't know, Chris. What are you going to do about a person like Joe?
But what's the horse medication for? Like, is that...
Yeah, it's a dewormer.
But human beings don't have worms.
Yeah, you know? I mean, the only people that have worms that I know of are worm farmers. People that farm worms and people that they go fishing a lot.
Right, you know,
they
have
a lot of worms, right?
It's fucked up, man.
Hashtag RIP Steven, hashtag RIP Joe.
Oh, man, that sucks, man.
Like, we've talked about how Mr. Ma, how that transition is impacting our jobs. If we lose Joe Rogan here at Spotify... Think about it, bro.
That's going to be the end of us.
It's either the end of us or it's a huge opportunity. We could come up as long as Mr. Ma keeps a roof over our heads.
Because
right now, it's like the only thing I see over our head is this loose wiring. It's just like wires, like tangled up electrical wires.
Yeah.
It looks dangerous.
So that means we can move into his fucking suite.
Exactly. Now you're thinking.
We get his parking spot, dude.
We can get his parking spot. We can get his studio. We can get his producer. We need that right now.
Yeah. Fuck, dude. I can't wait for Jamie to come over, man.
Man, it's better than this kid. I mean,
shit.
This fucking kid, bro.
Is he asleep, man?
I think he's asleep. And it's fucked up that he's asleep because we got to end the show. So I'm going to press this button so I can end the show.
Okay.
There's the music. Oh, there we go, baby. We're gonna be back next week, Chris.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Blabber Show. It's been a rough week, man. Please bear with us. Fucking Mr. Miles fucking our situation up.
We'll do our best to give you guys this fabulous content week after week, though.
Thoughts and prayers for Steve.
Thoughts and prayers to Joe.
Alright, so follow us on TikTok and Instagram at The Blabber Show. Hiro, what's our Twitter?
At Blabber Show. And our email address?
TheBlabberShow@gmail.com. Hit us up.
Hit us up, baby. Alright, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.